This is Rhema for today.
Brother Gorton said, I said to him, now then, how old are you? The man happened to be 72 years of age. He said, how many years have you been in the ministry? Not a bishop, but in the ministry. Oh, well, he said, I started 50 years ago in the ministry. Well, in the last 50 years, how many churches have you known of or that were killed or destroyed by fanaticism? He thought for a minute, said, well, I can think of five. He said, how many churches do you know of that were destroyed by formality, coldness, deadness? Oh, my, he said, I couldn't begin to count them. Then he said, which is the worst enemy? No, we do not encourage fanaticism. But if you know the Word of God and the Spirit of God, you'll be able to curb fanaticism and channel the power of God in the right direction.
You're listening to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. Later in today's program, I'll tell you about this month's radio offer. Right now, let's join Kenneth E. Hagin with his teaching, Taking Your Place.
I think maybe some of us in the early day of our spiritual experience when we were babies, we'd thought, well, I'd like to have that. Maybe even prayed. Some might have even prayed. Now, I'll tell you, I did this, and understand when you do it with the right motive, it works, but you do it with the wrong motive, it doesn't work. Because, you see, I started then, after I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and came over in Pentecostal circles, and started Pentecostal churches. See, they knew a lot about tongues, because they were Spirit-filled people and spoke with their tongues, and tongues and interpretation about the only manifestation of the Spirit that any of us had. I mean, our church had. But I didn't have it. I spoke with tongues and prayed with tongues, but I didn't have tongues with interpretation. That's a different thing entirely. So I asked the Lord, because I knew the pastor needed that. The pastor needs that, because then he'll understand the move of the Holy Ghost a little bit better. I know he can read the Word all right and learn a whole lot that way and know a whole lot that way, but you just know a whole lot more about things when you operate in them. Just like this. You can read a handbook on driving an automobile, but you'll learn a whole lot more when you get under the wheel. Amen? And so I asked the Lord from the standpoint that I'm a pastor and I need this. Lord, let me have that. That tongues and interpretation. Well, and I began to pray that. It wasn't a month till I began to speak with tongues and interpret. Amen. And that's the only thing I ever asked him for. Amen. And so if a pastor sees that he needs certain things, in order to have it, it'd be all right for him to ask. He's not asking from a selfish standpoint. But right on the hand, many times preachers and laymen or whoever they are praying for something. A lot of times it's selfish. I want that. A lot of times so I can be seen. Don't shout me down now because I'm preaching real good. No, he's writing to the whole church at Corinth. And he says to that church, desire spiritual gifts. If you will desire them, and that congregation of believers will desire these things, then the Holy Ghost, the head of the church, through the Holy Spirit, will manifest himself in these various gifts or manifestation as the Spirit wills. But now then, if you're not ready, amen, to move on with God, and if you're not willing and understand how to deal with a little excess and fanaticism and have a little excess and fanaticism, then forget it and just stay dead and dry and put on a little service. Amen. And grieve the Spirit of God and eventually ride Ichabod off of the top of your church. Amen. But I'm like Donald G. Donald G. was a pioneer of the Pentecostal movement. He said, I'd rather have a little wildfire and God a moving than the order of a cemetery and nothing happening. Besides that, you don't have to bother about wildfire. There's always enough wet blankets around to put it out. I heard 1943, I attended the General Council of the Assemblies of God in Springfield, Missouri. And I heard Brother J. Narver Gortner say, and J. Narver Gortner was formerly a Methodist minister and then was baptized the Holy Ghost, came over in Pentecostal circles. And so he said, he was traveling on the train. See, now, this is 43 and during the war, on a train somewhere. And he said, he was come to find out that he was sitting right beside of a Methodist bishop. And he told him, I used to be Methodist. My father was a Methodist bishop. My grandfather was a Methodist bishop. He probably would have been one if he hadn't got filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke with tongues. And so said, we got to talking. And this Methodist bishop was coming from a Methodist statewide Methodist conference. And the theme of their conference was liberty in the spirit. And so Brother Gortner said, I questioned whether or not he added the tongue. He said, well, tongues is in there, all right, but we didn't talk about that. We just talked about the necessity of being empowered by the Spirit and led by the Spirit and so on and so forth, especially the ministers. He said, well, Brother Gortner said, I went on and witnessed to him, and he said, and he said, well, I'll admit it's in there, all right. It's certainly there, and I see it. But he said, I'm afraid I would go all out for it, just encourage our people to speak with tongues and our ministers to get this. But he said, I'm afraid of fanaticism. Brother Gortner said, I said to him, now then, how old are you? The man happened to be 72 years of age. He said, how many years have you been in the ministry? Not a bishop, but in the ministry. Oh, well, he said, I started 50 years ago in the ministry. Well, in the last 50 years, how many churches have you known of or that were killed or destroyed by fanaticism? He thought for a minute, said, well, I can think of five. He said, how many churches do you know of that were destroyed by formality, coldness, deadness? Oh, my, he said, I couldn't begin to count them. Then he said, which is the worst enemy? No, we do not encourage fanaticism. But if you know the Word of God and the Spirit of God, you'll be able to curb fanaticism and channel the power of God in the right direction. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And you pastors should be keen enough to do that. Keen enough not only in the Word, but keen enough in the Spirit.
Amen.
It's not just the Word, you put that first, but it's also the Spirit. I made mention of the fact last night that we have a lady here with us, sister. Well, when we knew her, she's Sister Sylvia Patterson. We were pastor at Farmersville. We were there 2 years, 1939 and 40, and then left out of the will of God. God sent us back a couple of years later. So we were there in 1943 and 44. So when we went back the second time, some of the ladies of the church just on their own met. And I think they met maybe in Sister Sylvia's home. They might have moved around to pray. And then I think my wife went one time and she said this to me. And then Sister Sylvia came to her, whether she remembers or not. But she said this to me because she was well balanced when some of the rest of them were. She said, Brother Hagin, you know, something's just not right about this. You need to get a hold of this. Because, among other things, they're getting the revelation God was through with me. Well, he wasn't through yet. I stayed on another year, a little better. So I brought him into the church. Amen. After all, God didn't set these things in somebody's kitchen. He set them in the church.
Amen.
And so I said, y'all come up to the church on Wednesday afternoon and pray. And my wife and I will meet with you and we'll pray. Well, we were able to channel. See, they were generating a lot of power. You got your Bibles there? Just hold it and let's go to another scripture and then we'll come back to what I'm talking about. You remember James 5. You'll remember this without even looking at it, unless you just want to. We're all familiar with James saying in the 5th chapter, 14th verse, is any sick among, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray with anointing oil in the name of the Lord, the prayer of faith to save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. He's committed sin and shall be forgiven him. But do we know the 16th verse? Pray ye, confess your faults one to another, and pray ye one for another that you may be healed. See, healing has to be the will of God, especially for ever all the church. Because it said, pray for one another that you may be healed. He wouldn't tell you to pray for something that wasn't his will, would he? Wouldn't that be stupid? Pray ye one for another that you may be healed. For the fervent effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, the Amplified reads something like this. That the constant, fervent, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. You see, the Holy Ghost is always present everywhere, but it's not necessarily available just at the moment. But see, we just know he's here because the Word said so. But you don't see him, do you? And he's not in manifestation just at the moment, other than I'm teaching under the anointing. But the continued, fervent, constant prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. It brings it into manifestation. But I don't know that whether people know it or not, but the power of God can be misused and misdirected just like natural power can. Now, John Lake said electricity is God's power in the natural realm, but Holy Ghost power is God's power in the spiritual realm. Well, you know as well as I know that electricity has been in existence ever since God created the worlds. But man didn't even, for centuries, didn't even know it was here. Amen? But in our time, so to speak, Benjamin Franklin discovered electricity. But even after he discovered electricity, it was of no value to anybody because folks didn't know the rules and the laws that govern the operation of it. Amen? And Thomas A. Edison, an eighth grade dropout. I mean, he spent hour on hour experimenting. He finally learned the rules that govern, the laws that govern the operation of electricity. And we're enjoying the benefits of it.
Welcome to Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin. You can find more great materials by Kenneth E. Hagin, Kenneth W. Hagin, and the rest of the Hagin family by visiting our online bookstore. I want to tell you about this month's radio offer. We're offering Kenneth W. Hagin's book, How to Live Worry-Free. Next is Reverend Lynette Hagin's CD entitled, The Lord Our Peace. Also a single CD by Denise Hagin Burns called Deep Roots in God. The last item is Craig Hagin's CD, Just Believe. All these items at the special discounted price of $25. Call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. Again, call toll-free 1-888-FAITH-99. You can also order online at rhema.org. That's rhema.org. rhema.org. Or if you prefer, you can write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries. Our address is P.O. Box 50126. Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150. We always love to hear from our listeners, so write in or email us today and become a part of Rhema for Today. Right now, let's join Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.
In August, we are going to begin our Living Faith Conferences for the fall.
Yes.
That's August 17th through the 19th. We're going to be in Champaign, Illinois, a Midwest Believers Church, Pastors Trent and Rhonda Coyne. And you can go to rhema.org/LFC to find out the times.
And then Wednesday through Friday, we're going to jump up to Newark, Ohio at Moore Life Church.
Yes.
August 20th through the 22nd, Pastors Josh and Angie Pennington. So we're looking to have you be there with us. If you know people in the area, if you live in the area,
yes,
let them know about it. Or you might just want to take a trip. Well, take a trip and come and be in the Living Faith Conference. Find out all about it, like she said, at rhema.org/LFC.
Tomorrow on Rhema for Today, we'll continue Kenneth E. Hagin's life-changing teaching. That's next time on Rhema for Today with Kenneth and Lynette Hagin.